Next up on Forum this morning, for the next 6 months, visitors to Alcatraz will encounter more than empty cells and beautiful views. The island is the site of dissident Chinese artist Ai Weiwei's new installation At Large, a collection of works that explore themes of human rights and freedom of expression. One of the exhibits features music by people who have been detained for the creative expression of their beliefs, such as the Tibetan singer Lolo. We'll talk to the organizers of At Large about the installation and about the challenges of collaborating with Ai Weiwei, who is barred from leaving China by its government. Join us for Forum next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny.
See your duty as artist to fight and to protect freedom of speech. That is the soul of any creativity.
That was Chinese dissident and artist Ai Weiwei, the creator of At Large, which is a major new exhibition on Alcatraz Island. It features seven site-specific installations, including sculpture, sound, mixed media, and portraits of 175 prisoners of conscience made from Lego pieces. And the exhibit is presented by the San Francisco-based Foresight Foundation, emphasizing human rights and freedom of expression, and was done in partnership with the National Park Service and the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy. Ai Weiwei, who has never visited Alcatraz, resides and works in Beijing. He was detained by the government in 2011 for 81 days on charges of tax evasion and is still prohibited from leaving China. This Forum Hour, we want to focus on his Alcatraz installation, which runs through April. And joining us here in studio are a number of people who are involved in this, and let me introduce them to you. We want to welcome, first of all, Cheryl Haynes, who is founding executive director of Foresight Foundation and curator of At Large, the Ai Weiwei exhibit on Alcatraz. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Good to have you here. Also good to have Frank Dean with us, general superintendent of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, co-presenter of At Large. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
And we want to welcome Greg Moore, who is president and CEO of the Golden Gate National Conservancy and also a co-presenter of the installation. Welcome.
Good morning to you, Michael, and to KQED listeners.
And good morning to you. And thank you all. We're also going to be joined in the course of the hour by San Francisco Chronicle art critic Ken Baker. But let me begin with Cheryl Haynes. Actually, you had a gallery back in 2008. That's sort of where the genesis of this goes, in a Presidio installation. Take us through this. I mean, where did the idea come from?
Well, in 2008, I became very interested in the contemporary art scene in China, and through a number of curators, received invitations to visit with artist studios, and primarily in Beijing. And one of the people I was most impressed by during that initial visit was Ai Weiwei. So we became friends. And every time I went to China, I would visit his studio and I would hear about what he was working on in terms of major site-specific installations, museum exhibitions, and kept always looking for opportunities to engage him.
And Alcatraz became hatched in your mind, so to speak. How or where did that connect to Ai Weiwei?
Well, initially, the idea for Alcatraz came from a former project the Foresight Foundation did for the 75th anniversary of the Golden Gate Bridge. We activated Fort Point, which is a Civil War period fort, just under the south anchorage of the bridge. And as we were doing the installation in 2012, I would often go to the roof and I would look across the bay, always being one to look for the next project while I was engaged with a current one. My eyes rested on the island of Alcatraz, and I immediately thought, what a remarkable place to try to activate with a contemporary artist. So it really began there.
Remarkable but challenging, of course.
Yes.
Especially
yes.
With these installations, yes.
Yes, but good things are never easy.
It's a good, I think my mother used to say that. This is also something that really tries ambition. I mean, it's very ambitious is really what I was getting at here. We'll talk about the installations, but which tries to bring together not only art and Ai Weiwei's art specifically, but also human rights and freedom and themes of that sort.
Yes. I think one of the things that's so exciting about being a curator for a project like this is that it is able to address some very basic themes important to us all. Human rights, freedom of expression, and the role that communication can play in helping create a just society. And this artist, because he is such an outspoken and eloquent advocate, in these areas really seem like the perfect choice of someone to activate this site. But one of the other things I think that's also very important to him and is not always something that gets discussed very much is the fact that the artworks themselves have to be successful. They have to be aesthetically rigorous. They have to be engaging to the public. They have to be beautiful.
But they're also designed to some extent to get people to think and talk about human rights, to think and talk about prisoners of conscience, all of those kinds of things. I mean, this is very specific, really.
Yes, Michael, absolutely. But how does one do that in a way where you're receiving such a broad visitorship? Sometimes politically based art can be very didactic, very direct, very sort of lacking in aesthetic, perhaps.
Maybe even propagandistic.
Perhaps, maybe a bit more direct. I mean, I think one of the things that's so successful about this project is that though it's addressing these all-important issues in a pretty straight-on manner, he's done so with a light hand. And he has learned through the period of our development of this project the diversity of the visitorship and how to engage people with symbolism and objects that are understandable from a wide perspective.
Well, there's a lot of birds in flight. There's when I went in, the first thing I saw was this kite, a lot of things that we associate with being in the air, I suppose you could say, and being free. But this installation, I mean, the scale of it is extraordinary. And maybe you can just take us through a bit so people can understand what we're talking about here. I mean, we've got utilitarian fixtures with ceramic flowers. We've got this huge refraction of, what, about 5 tons? And there's sound, and we want to hear some of that as well. 7 installations, essentially, right?
That's correct. This project is unique in many ways. One of them is that this is the first time that the artist has done a site-specific installation of this scale with all new work. Of course, it was very complex because the artist was not able to visit the site, so it put a fair amount of emphasis on our ability to communicate with him.
Skype came in handy here.
Skype. We would send him 3D models, architectural renderings, all manner of very, very detailed information to help him understand the site. And I think there are very few artists that would be able to have created these works so specifically for these areas from afar. But because of his architectural background, he was the designer for the Bird's Nest Stadium for the Olympics in Beijing. And sadly, because he has been detained and not been able to leave the country since 2011, he has had many major exhibitions around the world that he's had to do from afar.
I thought maybe actually we'd hear a clip of Ai Weiwei, another one we heard at the beginning with the introduction I read. But here he's talking about the restrictions on his travel and about the installation.
I don't have my passport, and there's no explanation why and for how long. So it gave a tremendous difficulty for the process. But at the same time, our show is about freedom, ironically.
We take a jail as a metaphor. Alcatraz, particularly, is a place for people to understand what is a prison condition.
Talking again about the Chinese artist Ai Weiwei's Alcatraz exhibition and Cheryl Haynes is founding executive director of the Foresight Foundation and curator of At Large, which is the exhibition. Let's talk about some of these specific things, if we could, with you, Cheryl. And let's talk about the refraction, first of all, I mentioned.
Well, Michael, one of the things that was very interesting when we got past the conception stage and moved into the installation stage, it became even more apparent what a complex environment Alcatraz is. It receives more than 1.5 million visitors a year, and there's a very successful visitor engagement plan already in place. There are a lot of very fragile cultural and natural resources, and one of them is the fact that there is a very large bird nesting circumstance that happens about 8 months out of the year. And in the New Industries Building, which is where the piece Refraction resides on the bottom floor, we were installing that piece very interestingly, during the height of bird nesting season, and because there were thousands of cormorants and seagulls right outside the window while we were installing, so as not to disturb the bird life there, we had to hand carry many of the components into the building. And yes, it was a 16,000-pound sculpture. And I love the irony of it in a way, because the sculpture is a single bird's wing, and it is not able to fly. It is somewhat trapped inside the building. And I loved the complexity around that here is this artist who was fully respectful of the bird colony outside the window, designed the piece so it could be hand carried quietly inside the building, and there it remains very still and very much a symbol of detainment and lack of freedom.
And you look down on it, as I did when I was there. Dan Zoll and I went there, and there we were up there where the rafters are, sort of, and you look down on it. And it's quite an in-depth experience, a multidimensional experience. Could you also say something about all those Legos? I mean, that's quite an the Trace exhibit.
Well, once again, this exhibition deals with very far-reaching and all-important issues, but when it really becomes exciting is when the artist is bringing in the individual, like the human face of detainment, the human voice. And in Trace, there are 1.2 million Legos, and which it comprises a mosaic-like quality installation on the floor, and it contains 175 portraits of prisoners of conscience around the world. We worked very closely.
Not only ones who are now presently, but Martin Luther King is there,
figures.
And Nelson Mandela is there, and yes.
That's correct. And we worked very carefully with Amnesty International to identify some of these individuals and to make certain that, by and large, most of them, you know, were not detained through violent acts. It was very simply because of their expression of their individual beliefs. And I find this piece particularly moving because when you approach the work, you can see it both by walking among the various zones on the floor, and you can also view it from above, from what we call the gun gallery or the guard gallery. And that was where the guards historically would watch the prisoners working below, the privileged prisoners that were there engaged in work. Through this project, I learned so much about some of these individuals, and I thought I really was well informed about human rights until I started this project, and I realized there's so many people around the world that have suffered deeply for their beliefs.
And there's a lot of take action that's part of this exhibit too, writing postcards, for example, and sending messages to some of these prisoners of conscience, that sort of thing. Greg Moore, where does the Conservancy come into this whole picture?
Michael, the Conservancy is a partner with the National Park Service in providing the visitor experience in Alcatraz day in and day out. So when Cheryl brought the idea to Frank Dean, the superintendent, and to me, we had to sit down and get our bearings about whether we thought the idea not only had merit and helped interpret the island, but that it could be delivered effectively side by side, as Cheryl mentioned, the 1.6 million people that come to Alcatraz every day. So
The logistics actually blow the mind, as we used to say in the hippie period of my development.
You're right. Alcatraz is unique. There is no running water. The electricity has to be created on site. And as Cheryl mentioned, there are many historic buildings and natural resources that need to be protected. But those were opportunities and challenges that we worked together to overcome. And the Conservancy helped in bringing in volunteers and in hiring the art guides that take the people through the installation today.
And it's going really well. I mean, despite all of those logistical challenges, despite the fact that Alcatraz is constantly flooded with tourists?
Well, the visitors coming to Alcatraz, many of them had sort of a conventional notion of what their visit might be. And there's this amazing added dimension that tells part of the Alcatraz story that is a bit buried in its well-known history for the gangster period of incarceration in Alcatraz. So the visitors are getting the bonus of the art, but more importantly, the bonus of this story that connects so deeply to Alcatraz and to people around the world.
Well, also, we've mentioned some of the things. There are seven installations. There's an installation of sound. One of the exhibits is called Illumination, and it's located in a former psychiatric observation ward, and you can actually hear the sounds of Hopi chanting. Can you tell us a little bit about the significance of this and the history it evokes, Greg?
Sure. In 1895, 19 Hopi Indians refused to send their children away from home to government-mandated schools. And for that simple refusal, they ended up incarcerated on Alcatraz Island.
It's actual Hopi chanting, and there are other sounds. In fact, you want to talk a little bit about the sound part of this, Cheryl Hing?
Well, Michael, while I was saying earlier, one of the things I think that's touching visitors is by taking these larger issues and then really compressing them and thinking about the individual, whether it's the faces, the images in Trace, or the sound of the human voice in Stay Tuned. To me, this is a piece that is deeply moving, and since I've been visiting the island after the exhibition opened, I find that I gravitate to that area quite often to see what visitors' response will be. And basically what it is it's 12 individual cells that have been activated with sound. It's an area of the prison. It's from the early period when it was a military prison, and it hasn't been open to the public for some time. So this is part of a new experience for a number of the visitors. The diversity of sound in the space is I think, working very well.
You've got Tibetan songs. You've got Pussy Riot. You've got South African sounds during apartheid. I mean, all of these kind of sounds really enhance tremendously what you're trying to purvey here. Yeah.
Yes, I think that all of these people either wrote these works while they're being detained or as a result of their detainment. And we are very interested in the notion that Alcatraz was once a silent prison and that the prisoners were not allowed to communicate with one another, and they found different ways of doing so. And that led to a greater conversation about the notion of control, that whether it's the prison populace or it's the populace of a nation that has human rights abuses, the first thing that happens, in my mind, is the control about communication among the various members of that society. So the idea that these cells, though next to one another, at once contained people that couldn't communicate with one another, to enliven them with the poetry and the music of these individuals, I find deeply moving.
And it's all there. It's all part of the installation. But let me go to Frank Dean, who's General Superintendent of Golden Gate National Recreation Area, another co-presenter of At Large. And anybody say, you know, I know this is going to sound a little bit I'm not sure what it'll sound like, but have you heard any flack about, you know, why are we having an international artist, a Chinese artist? Why not an American artist at a national park? Any of that?
There's been a few comments online questioning why we're doing this, but by and large, the support's been overwhelming. And I think, you know, this was a little bit edgy for us. I will concede that. But, you know, there's been a long history of art in about national parks, and back to the Bierstadt painting era, and even Ansel Adams, that were sort of promoting to save these special places. So now fast forward to today, where we're trying to tell stories through art. And as Greg said, we're trying to reach a deeper meaning about Alcatraz instead of just hearing about Al Capone and what he did out there, you know.
Or the Birdman.
The Birdman of Alcatraz of the 1930s. But what does it mean to be a prisoner today, and why were the Hopis incarcerated on Alcatraz? That's not a story that we highlight a lot on Alcatraz. So this exhibit actually gave us that opportunity to talk about it.
You're transforming the experience of Alcatraz. You're giving it really Alcatraz is kind of a canvas here, huh?
A little bit. You know, we still have the core experience, which many people want to see, but we're also giving them an alternative, and actually at no added cost, they can come see the Ai Weiwei exhibit at the same time. So it's I think it's part of our mission, really, as the Park Service, to sort of engage in some of these topical issues.
What kind of responses are you getting from people who want to come here and see Alcatraz, or go out to see Alcatraz, and suddenly they find here's this exhibit? I mean, to their surprise, and maybe even to their delight, or what?
I think, again, the feedback's been great. We haven't had any complaints that I'm aware of. It's all been – some people really are seeking the exhibit out, and the sales have actually, you know, gone higher. We have a finite capacity on the island, but we did add an early bird boat, and that is sold out for the exhibit. So that's sold out. So we're seeing a lot of interest, and I think we're also seeing people from the Bay Area that maybe have not gone out to Alcatraz before and coming to the island for the first time to see the exhibit.
Well, again, we're talking about the Ai Weiwei exhibit, Chinese artist on Alcatraz. Now you can not only go to see Alcatraz, and like I said, your humble public servant here behind the microphone and my great senior editor went out and saw it, and it was quite a day we had out there. I mean, I hadn't been there in years, and we had a terrific time there. Kenneth Baker is, of course, art critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. He actually interviewed Ai Weiwei twice. Ken Baker, a voice of criticism with this exhibit, maybe? Is that fair to characterize you?
Well, I don't want to dissent too powerfully from. I mean, I have to congratulate everyone involved for getting it done. I never thought it would happen, frankly, because of its complexity and the difficulty of conceiving and executing exhibition across such distances, not to mention the complexity of the site itself. But I was disappointed for Ai Weiwei and others involved because I don't think this is his best work. It's not his best work that I've seen, and that's partly due to the circumstances of his not being able to visit the site itself. I think he would have reacted very differently, perhaps not very differently, but in other ways had he been able to actually experience the atmosphere of the place, which is very peculiar and dark, really.
You, in your article about it, said no breakout, a clever title about Alcatraz, but you mean no breakout in terms of the representation of what art is on exhibit of his?
Yes, in terms of his career as I'm familiar with it. This is not, except for the peculiar opportunity to exhibit in a prison site, it's not a particularly dramatic step forward for him as I see it. It's an amplification of themes which we've mentioned already in the show, of themes he's been preoccupied with for a long time. But I don't think it's the most effective combination of objects and site that he's done. Very often his work is not site-specific. And for me, the work at Alcatraz, the sound pieces accepted, is not site-specific enough, if you will. So, I mean, I found refraction very powerful, partly because of the restrictions on viewing it. As you mentioned, you can only see it from the gun gallery, and you look at it through broken windows, basically. So it's a powerful experience of seeing this object. You want to get a closer look at it and not being able to approach it. And you see its scale and its complexity, and you can't really sort out those details at that distance. At least I couldn't.
You seemed a bit skeptical in your article about how much this would be a catalyst to, well, conversation about political prisoners or all those postcards that are being sent out necessarily arriving and having impact. Can I get you to comment on that?
I just don't think, as I said, the values of activist art and of tourism, which is to say consumption, really mix. And in this culture, certainly. I mean, the basis for those conversations is well laid in this culture already. I mean, we don't need Ai Weiwei to prod us. It's great if it happens, but we don't need Ai Weiwei to prod us to think about these things. They're ongoing topics of discussion.
Wait, can you stay with us, Kenneth?
Yes.
Okay, because I know that Cheryl and some others may want to respond to the comments we've heard from you. And listeners, let me invite you to respond. If you've seen the exhibit, what did you think about it? If you have questions about the artist Ai Weiwei or about this marriage between his work and Alcatraz. And by the way, you're hearing Fela Kuti. Music is from Sorry Tears and Blood by a Nigerian musician and former political prisoner, one of the artists featured in Stay Tuned. You can join us. Our toll-free number, we welcome your calls. 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Or email us forum@kqed.org. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. For the next 6 months, Alcatraz Island will be the site of dissident Chinese artist Ai Weiwei's new installation, At Large, which is a collection of works that explore themes of human rights and freedom of expression. And the artist Ai Weiwei is currently barred from leaving China by its government. Cheryl Haynes with us in studio is founding executive director of Foresight Foundation and curator of At Large. Frank Dean, General Superintendent of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, which is a co-sponsor of At Large, and Greg Moore, President and CEO of the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy, also a co-presenter of the installation. And this is unprecedented. There's never been anything like this. We thought we'd have Kenneth Baker weigh in. He's with us, too, on phone, art critic for the San Francisco Chronicle, and he's interviewed Ai Weiwei a couple times. Before we say goodbye to you, can we get you to sort of tell us about, you know, what lingers, especially in your imagination as an art critic, about the impact and about really the significance of the work of Ai Weiwei?
Well, for one thing, people have been telling me that, confessing really, locals, that they've never visited Alcatraz in spite of living here, sometimes even being born here, and lived here all their lives, but this is going to get them to go, which is a nice thing. I think the sound pieces are the most effective, in especially the two that you described with Hopi and Buddhist chants incorporated in them, because those are staged in two psychiatric observation cells, and to be in those spaces alone is oppressive. And the contrast between the liberating effect of these sounds and the isolating effect of those spaces is very powerful. And my only concern is that I got to see it along with maybe 20 other people, members of the press, under kind of special conditions. And what the tourist experience, the ordinary visitor experience would be, what kind of restriction on access there is to make that experience enhanced, I'm just not sure, because I haven't been back since I was there on the press preview. So I think visitor control is an issue here in a way that often it's not in widely attended exhibitions.
Can I get you, before we say goodbye, though, to comment on what you, again, feel is the major contribution of this artist, aside from what people are going to see on Alcatraz?
Well, Ai Weiwei is a conceptual artist, and what he does essentially is he makes is decisions. And his art really consists very often of repositioning things that already exist, in ways that break open their expected and anticipated and conventional meanings, convention-bound meanings. And I think that's, he's making the same attempt here on Alcatraz, not as effectively as I've seen him do it in other situations, but nonetheless, the attempt alone is a really important event for the art history of the Bay Area, I think.
Kenneth Baker, art critic for the San Francisco Chronicle, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michael.
And let's hear something else about Ai Weiwei. This is Hung Lu, another view of the artist. She's a prominent Oakland painter and is close friends with him. And like him, she deals with China's politics in her work. And here in an interview with KQED's Mina Kim, she urges people not to get carried away with his larger-than-life status.
Ai Weiwei is super famous. It's a superstar. Some people call him God, Ai Shen. I think it's a little too far, because people try to make Mao Zedong a god. So that's, in bigger sense, I just feel like, you know, it's important for other people to be critical.
Well, speaking about being critical, let me get a response from any of you who are assembled here in the studio, Cheryl Haynes, Frank Dean, Greg Moore, to what you heard from Kenneth Baker, particularly in terms of, visitor control and the difference between being a tourist as opposed to getting a special viewing if you're an art critic or if you happen to work for KQED and feature this exhibit like we did. I mean, I'll open it up to you. Yeah, go ahead, Frank Dean.
I think what we see, that the experience that most visitors see on the island without the Ai Weiwei exhibit is a good experience. They're very satisfied. You have the history, a very interesting story, and then fantastic views around the bay, and it's just a very intriguing place to visit.
Forgive me, they are inimitable views. I've never seen – I mean, first time I went to Alcatraz, I said, there's nothing like this. I mean, in terms of the views, nothing.
It's a great perspective. But I think what interested me and our team here with the Park Service was with this Ai Weiwei opportunity was that it did give us a chance to expose thought-provoking kinds of opportunity to talk about the deeper meaning again of what it is to be a prisoner, not just about these sort of household names of Al Capone, but what was it like to have, say, an unknown person in another country or even the Hopis in this particular prison on Alcatraz. again, I think it's not something that people really necessarily take home with them. I think they talk about the famous people or what the solitary confinement was like. I think this provides a whole nother level. So we're really pleased to be able to host it.
And Gregor, Cheryl, you want to respond to the criticisms of the installation that we heard from Kenneth Baker? Criticize the critic, as it were? Respond, at least?
I would like to address in two ways. One of them is in terms of being his most successful work. Interestingly, when I've been speaking with Weiwei about this project, he has told me that in his mind, it's the most important project of his career. And he's absolutely thrilled with the works and the conversation that seems to be surrounding these works. So that doesn't mean necessarily they're his most successful works in terms of general appreciation. But for him, this is a very important moment. And it's also encouraged him to take the conversation beyond his own dissatisfaction with the Chinese government and to look at other countries around the world for the first time in his practice. And I think he has learned so much about it. It's been deeply satisfying for him. As far as the experience of the visitor, I must say I've been out there many times since the exhibition opened. And, you know, I wasn't sure myself, you know, what the experience would be like for visitors, whether people were going there specifically to see the work or would happen upon it. And I'm so delighted with what I'm seeing. I'm seeing people that have taken their headsets off, that have left the path of the audio tour, that are sitting in cell block A, that are wandering around New Industries Building. They're engaging with the art guides. You know, having 40-plus art guides on site helping people with the experience has been really – it was a very good investment on our part. And the postcard piece, yours truly, I had no idea how successful it would be that people are actually sitting down, taking the time and reaching out to these prisoners of conscience around the world. We have received more than 10,000 postcards in the first 3 weeks. And we feel quite confident that a good number of them will, in fact, be delivered because we have people on the ground through Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International. They're going to help us walk us through this process at each one of the prisons.
Any prisoner of conscience who's getting an abundance or a disproportionate number of these that you can determine?
No, it's really surprising, but every single country that's included in this project is receiving postcards.
I was just wondering if Ed Snowden maybe was leading the pack or something. We just did a show on the new movie about Snowden, and he's one of those prisoners of conscience. I'm going to go to our phone calls, but quick question. The 81 days that Ai Weiwei served in prison in China, tax evasion, how trumped up was that? Do we know, or did he tax evade?
It's such a complicated situation. I don't even
– You don't want to go there?
Can't even weigh in on it, but – I think not.
Well, let me go to our callers then. And let's begin, Leslie, with you. Good morning. Leslie, are you there? No? Okay. She just wanted to say she enjoyed the exhibit. Let's go to Michael. Michael, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Morning.
I was at the exhibit on Monday, and I'm a metal artist myself. And I agreed to Kevin Baker's assessment. I've been to Alcatraz before, so the site is a wonderful site, but it didn't have an initial impact it might have on someone who'd never been there. But I thought the Ai Weiwei pieces weren't nearly as successful as I would have hoped because of the confinement of them within the cells, and it made it hard to read the objects well at all. And I look at objects a lot. The tile pieces, when you were up close to them, were way too pixelated in color to see well, I thought, to read well and to appreciate the great color they had. They worked much better from the gun rack area. But again, you were looking through things, and all that plays into the concept of the thing. I just didn't feel that they came off as successfully as they might individually.
All right, Michael. I'm sorry. You have something else to add. Go ahead, please.
I also felt that it made it very difficult from the political standpoint to appreciate who they were. I'm fairly well-read politically. I read the New York Times and the Chronicle and watch the news and that. There were an awful lot of people you would not normally know, and to figure out who they were, you kept having to go back and forth and look at the book. I didn't take the headsets because I didn't feel comfortable with that approach. So I found that detracted from it. The most successful room for me was the sound room, just like he said. And to answer his question about crowd control, most people, while I was in the room, didn't want to stay in the room, didn't quite get what was going to happen, so they left. So I, for myself, on a Monday with a full boat and stuff, I stood in the room all by myself for quite a while and listened to it, and I thought that part was very successful.
Michael, thank you. Comprehensive remarks from a listener in Richmond. And let me get the caller, Leslie, on, because she did love the exhibit. Leslie, hi, you're on.
Hi. I'm sorry about that before. I saw the show on Sunday morning, and I just have to thank Cheryl Haynes for bringing it. I was moved to tears just by the whole thing, but the idea that it isn't effectively in making people aware, I mean, it breaks your heart, and then it gives you the opportunity through these postcards to become involved with the people that are imprisoned, and that you're in this environment, which Alcatraz is so loaded with history, and it's such a prison, and it's like you really get the feeling of what it means to not have your freedom. And I thought, you know, Legos, that is so silly. But then you realize he's saying it's about creativity from when you're a child that has been stifled for these people who have been imprisoned for, you know, just being alive in the world and trying to change it. And you know, Marcel Duchamp, he has the Portsmouth thing, but then Marcel Duchamp also said that he wanted the viewer to finish any piece just by seeing it. And so the viewer finishes this piece by sending these postcards. And the tourists are there in that same room with the postcards. And they're like, what is happening here? And the guides are so beautiful and so wonderful. And they like explain these are being sent to the people who are in prison today. It's not history. It's happening now. And you have the opportunity to change the world. As Trungpa Rinpoche said, artists can change the world. So I can't tell you how much I love this and how grateful I am to be alive in a world where Ai Weiwei lives.
Well, thank you for those comments. Much appreciate them. And I'm looking at a tweet here from a listener about the postcards. What have people been writing, Monica wants to know. I don't know if you've been reading these postcards, but any sense of what people are writing? Because I thought the first caller's point was well taken. There's a lot that you could learn about so many of these stories that you don't know. I mean, you could spend weeks with the 175 people. I mean, you know, I'm a fairly well-informed guy, and I would say that at least 100 of those people I had never heard of and knew nothing about. So to learn about them, to absorb, to want to respond and write to them becomes pretty challenging and pretty formidable. What kind of things are people writing, actually?
Well, I mean, two things I wanted to respond to. One of them is that, yes, there's a lot of information behind some of these figures that we weren't perhaps familiar with before the exhibition opened. But, you know, we installed Wi-Fi on the island specifically for people to be able to get on their devices and do further research on these people on the spot, alongside the fact that we do have booklets there.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot of information for people to look at. So it is our hope that if someone is compelling, that they will take a moment and do a little bit of further research on them. As far as the postcard piece is concerned, some of the things are so beautiful. I'm so touched by the visitors' responses that we're thinking about making a small book around this. Mm-hmm. And Ai Weiwei was so insistent on this one piece in particular because when he was under arrest and he was detained, the thing for him that was so upsetting was the sense of isolation, that he had no contact with his family, his colleagues, his friends. He felt so alone. And if we could somehow reach out to these people and let them know that they are not forgotten. And that is really basically the tenor of the comments, that we're in this exhibition, this what it's about. I think one of the most moving postcards I read was by a 4-year-old friend of mine who basically said, his name is Felix, and he said, I am sorry you're in prison. I don't know what you have done, but I hope you get out soon. And if you don't, you find something there to give you joy.
Oh, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Here's Melissa who writes, I would like to know if the exhibit is kid-friendly or kid-appropriate. I would like to go, but I have to bring young kids. Frank, Greg?
Yeah, it's very kid-friendly. In fact, one of many amazing moments was a family who brought their two sons and realized in advance that the sons couldn't play with the Lego exhibit. They brought their own Legos, and the kids adjacent to the installation were building their own Ai Weiwei creations in the new industries building. There also is special access for school groups and community organizations at a discounted rate. There are materials for kids of all ages to understand the exhibition.
Can you
in
still
more
get
detail.
Tickets? Because I'm looking at an email here from Julie who says, I tried to get tickets. They were sold out in an instant. Are there tickets available now? And any tips on how to get them?
The tickets are sold 90 days in advance, so it requires advanced planning. That's one good tip. Also, for the community access tickets, which are the discounted tickets, those are available through the Parks Conservancy under certain eligibility requirements to access those. And then there's the early bird boat that Frank mentioned and a variety of additional ways that you can get to the island.
Again, Greg Moore is president and CEO of the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy. And here's Victoria, right on point about kids. Victoria, hi.
Hi. My kids go to a progressive independent school in Oakland, Park Day School, and the children are encouraged to question, to think critically, to express their opinions. And we were on Alcatraz a week or so ago, and my kids sat down to write the postcard project and wrote to two of the prisoners, and they were incredibly moved by the people that were incarcerated for just expressing their opinions, and something we in this country take for granted. And so it's an incredibly moving activity for them, and we all came away, even though they are young, with a pretty profound experience that what we take for granted is not in other countries.
Thank you so much. Good to hear from you, and I appreciate your call. And let me go to another one, and that's Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Hi. Really enjoying the discussion. Yeah, I wish, I feel like Ai Weiwei so far in the discussion has been presented in a very black and white way. I mean, this is a super complicated guy, at times complicit in the system that he's imprisoned in. For instance, he's really a small-time developer in China. So it does bring back the question, your question of, you know, maybe the tax evasion charges were true. And I just think what's really interesting about Ai Weiwei is how complicated he is. And too often his art or his presentation in the West is reduced to this kind of sloganeering of free Ai Weiwei. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Response from any of our panelists here?
Well, he is a very complicated man. And that's one of the things that's so thrilling about working with him. And in talking about you know, this project and others, people have said, what's more important to you, your art or your activism? And his basic answer is, it's all the same. My art, my activism, my family, my breakfast, my, you know, my cats, it's all part of the same reality. It's all part of me.
Let me read a comment from a listener who was somewhat confused by the exhibit and get responses from any of you. This is Jeff who writes, I must admit I was baffled by the exhibit. I took the ferry to Alcatraz, started taking the tour like everyone else, wondering when the tour guide might mention where the installations were located and wondering if she might talk about them. About 15 minutes in, I noticed a docent just kind of standing around. Could have been my brother, anyway. And I broke off from the tour to ask him about the art, and he pointed me toward one of the pieces. I realized I had to wander away from the tour and track the pieces down myself. I did see occasional maps and panels talking about the art, but I kind of felt like I was on my own to figure everything out, and I had to talk to every docent I saw in order to figure out what I was looking at and where I should go next. The silence is deafening here.
Well, it's good to get feedback about someone's experience in Alcatraz.
Couldn't you get confused, though, Greg? I mean, can it be, you know, get off the boat?
Alcatraz is confusing whether Ai Weiwei is there or not. It's a complicated place to make your way through. And part of the experience there is helping guide visitors through the unique site as well as its history. The installation, we think, is well signed. There are ways that you can see how to get there, and so the wayfinding is good. There, as Cheryl mentioned, over 50 art guides that are there on an ongoing basis to help the visitor understand the installation. So we appreciate the feedback, and we'll look into the suggestions.
And we'll bring another caller on. Chris, that's you. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. And I'd just like to say very quickly that I'm looking forward to actually visiting Alcatraz and the exhibit. I haven't been there since I was probably 2 feet off the ground, so this is a good reason to go. And enjoying any parts of the GGNRA is actually something that I look forward to here in the Bay Area. But also, may I humbly suggest to Ms. Hahn, Mr. Moore, and Superintendent Dean, perhaps thinking about the Sutro Baths ruins, which I feel are also shrouded in mystery and intrigue, and I feel like worldwide visitors and visitors to the San Francisco Bay Area would definitely enjoy as well.
Yeah, Superintendent Dean, want to respond?
Well, certainly Sutro Baths are intriguing. In fact, we have a, I believe it's a performance, a live performance of Othello planned there in the spring by a local troupe of players called We Players that we work with. And they've done exhibits or performances on Alcatraz and Fort Point. So they're moving to Sutro Baths this spring.
Let me thank the caller and go to another email from Lawrence, who says, Kenneth Baker's comments struck at the heart for me of the inherent contradiction of a curated exhibit of a conceptual artist's work as a centerpiece of something that itself is a large-scale work of conceptual art. While I'm sure that Mr. Baker is right from the museum-goer or art critic's perspective about the exhibit of I's work, there is a larger artistic point being made, and it seems to me that it is, if you will, Ms. Haynes' own artistic accomplishment that visitors to Alcatraz primarily experience. Okay, we'll let that stand, or unless anybody wants to respond. There is a – let me go back to you, Frank Dean, on this. There is a kind of a tracking of a whole different experience of Alcatraz for many of the people who have been there or haven't been there since they were 2 feet high or whatever the case may be. There certainly was for me. I mean, that's what you want, isn't it?
Right, it is. I mean, Alcatraz is pretty much sold out for most of the year. And in the dead of winter, we still – you know, it's a little bit easier to get a ticket. But again, it's very popular, but I think it's an opportunity. We have sites all over the country in the National Park Service. Manzanar, the Japanese internment camp, Andersonville Prison in Georgia, the Civil War prison camp. There's lots of stories. Pearl Harbor, all these sort of stories that we tell. It's not just the good news about the heroes. So I think in this case, we have a fairly dark story about the prison. But again, it brings it, I think, to new life, new meaning when you talk about contemporary times, not just a gangster who really was a criminal, but a political prisoner. And the question is, are they really criminals or not? So I think it does make people think, which is really what we're all about. It's about learning when you come to a park and about having fun.
Also, Dan and I got special advice. Come see the exhibit and come see Alcatraz at night. It's very different and it's an unusual experience and certainly something I've never done and may look forward to doing in the future. But what about the just practical question, Greg Moore, getting tickets? You said before you got to plan in advance and that's the key?
Yes, the tickets are available through the Alcatraz Cruises, which handles the ferry transportation to Alcatraz Island. And you can go onto their website and look at availability. And then there are other ticketing opportunities available on the Conservancy's website for more specialized and guided tours.
Can you give that website? Do
sure.
you have it handy?
www.parksconservancy.org.
And here's Nicole from Nevada City, who you saw it with your kids, Nicole, huh?
Yes, we did. We just saw it just a few days ago. And we got our tickets, by the way, 2 days before we actually got on to see the exhibit. And it seems like midweek the ticket availability is high, but the weekends seem to be sold out. I wanted also to take issue with Ken Baker's criticism of this maybe not being the perfect arena for getting the word out about dissidents in our world. And I brought my 12 and 15-year-old to see the exhibit. And I think we spent at least a half hour at every installation discussing what we were seeing. The Lego component was so relatable to my 12-year-old boy. You know, he just was so amazed at the amount of work that must have taken. And we also kind of figure out that different people might have made different pictures of the different people because we saw stylistically that some things were similar. I think it was refraction. The pots and the pans that are attached to the solar panels, and what did those represent? Was it, you know, literal? Was it just that the panels afforded the heat for these things to cook for the people of Tibet? Was it representative of the heat and the passion that is being felt by those people who are setting themselves afire these days? And when we got to the postcards, my goodness, my kids didn't know what to say. They were so blown away by the reasons that these people were being imprisoned, and they were speechless, and that was invaluable. So I just, And then we talked to people on the ferry back, and then we took the ferry back to the Bay Area and told people where we were, and they were all really interested and hadn't heard about it. And I think it's a great mouthpiece for dialogue about this topic.
Okay, thank you for the call. I'd mentioned the birds before. For kids, a lot of dragons, owls, I mean, all kinds of sights that really are worth seeing, I think, but also talking about the topics. And indeed, there's a caller who said the kids couldn't stop talking about them. What's next for Foresight, Cheryl Haynes?
Well, I think we're taking a moment to take a look at this project carefully and the impact that we hope it's having on the community and beyond. But one of the things I want to just address quickly, we've talked about the artists, we've talked about the site, but we haven't really talked about the partnership. And this unprecedented project would never be possible without such remarkably innovative, thoughtful, and enthusiastic and articulate partners. It has been such an honor and privilege working with the Parks Conservancy and the National Park Service on this. And I think I'd do just about any project with them.
Gentlemen, I think that's an invitation. We should say something about her hair, too. It is a work of art, really, Cheryl Haynes' hair. Can I describe it on there? It has green streaks, and it's really kind of a resting green, if I may say so. Thank you all so much for being here. Congratulations on the installations, and good luck. Appreciate your being with us on Forum. We are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. An hour is repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. Again, we were talking to Cheryl Haynes from Foresight Foundation, Frank Dean from the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, Greg Moore from the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy. And we also spoke with Kenneth Baker of the San Francisco Chronicle. You can continue this discussion online by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Lauerberg. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and we get online support from David Marks. Forum's senior editor is Dan Zoll. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.